I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, we'll talk about gentrification in Portland, Oregon. Does talking it over take away some of the pain of displacement? And the Mocha Moms dug out their Manolos to check out the weekend box office smash Sex in the City. What does the movie say about motherhood? But first, a major endorsement. House Majority Whip James Clyburn, the number three Democrat in the House, is endorsing Barack Obama for president. Mr. Clyburn of South Carolina, also the highest-ranking African-American lawmaker in the House, makes his announcement as the final voting in the primary contests take place today in Montana and South Dakota. Congressman Clyburn is with us now. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Mr. Clyburn, so nothing like taking it down to the wire.
Yeah. I think so. But, you know, I've said from day one that those of us who are called superdelegates, mostly inside players, should stay out of this process and let the voters have their say. And for the most part, those superdelegates that have committed earlier came from states where they had a lot of activity going on, and many of them responded to their constituents by endorsing early. But those of us who do, in fact, have responsibility for counting votes and running the agenda here on Capitol Hill, stayed out of the process. Today, however, we end the process. And I think that it's time for us to make our positions clear so that our presumptive nominee can tonight, after the polls close in Montana and South Dakota, go before the American people and respond to voters and do that tonight.
Everybody
will be looking in tonight.
Well, let me ask you about that, though, because technically the voting is still going on. And we've talked about this before, and you said that you're going to stay out of the process until the voting was over. Technically, it's still going on. Why today? Why not tomorrow?
To the end of the process. Because, once again, tonight is a night that he has scheduled his big speech at the site of the Republican Convention in Minnesota. He, the presumptive nominee, in my opinion, would like to say some things tonight to the American people, would like to declare victory tonight. And so those of us who are the inside players ought to grant him that. And that's why I went forward today rather than tomorrow, because he would like to be able to make this statement tonight, and we ought to support that.
You issued a statement a short time ago explaining your choice. You said that Mr. Obama is the party's best chance for victory in November and the best hope for needed change. Why do you think that's so?
Because I think that he energizes the public. He has elevated the politics in this country. He energizes our base voters. He draws a new and different map for Democrats. He has put forth a 48-state strategy as opposed to the 17-state strategy that we ran for the last two times with no room for error, and it proved to be faulty. We lost both times when people expected us to win. So I think it's time for us to chart a new course, draw a new map, get rid of conventional wisdom, and visualize a new beginning for our party. And Barack Obama represents that.
Senator Clinton continues to insist that she's gotten more popular votes, even though Senator Obama has the delegate count. What do you make of that argument?
Well, you know, there's something that's called new math. There's something that's called old math. And I suspect that this is probably Clinton math. It all depends on how you count it. I'm not one who would dismiss people who went to the caucuses. Those people voted. Those people braved some pretty bad weather. I remember, I guess it was Wisconsin. I know. In Iowa, and there was one other state that people just lined up late into the night to vote. How can you just not count them just because it was a caucus state? That's not a good way to treat Democratic supporters. So I think that it all depends on how you do the math as to who's got the most popular vote.
Well, speaking about Clinton math, this isn't the first time that you've expressed some concern about the way Senator Clinton and also former President Bill Clinton have conducted this campaign. Earlier in the year, you were among the people to express concern about the tone of the campaign, particularly the way you feel that racial overtones have been brought into the campaign. Did that factor into your decision to back Senator Obama?
Well, you may recall the first time anything like this came up, I was out of the country. And I really started listening to people who are other foreigners, if you please, and listening to how they felt about the country, how they felt about this campaign. And when I got home to South Carolina after coming from abroad, it was about 10 days before the voting was to take place in South Carolina. And then all of a sudden, I started listening to my constituents. They were very upset about things that were being said. And you may recall, all I said at the time was, I think Bill needs to chill. I, at that time, thought, along the lines of conventional wisdom, that we were not going beyond February the 5th before we pretty much knew who our nominee was going to be. And I really thought it was going to be Senator Clinton. So I wasn't expressing anything derogatory about that campaign. I just wanted to maintain a climate. And I told President Clinton that I thought that we needed to be very, very careful that we did not make this nomination worthless. And that's what I was talking about. And certainly, I had some problems with that. President Clinton continued to misspeak in the campaign, that did give me some problems, and it gave a lot of other people problems as well.
Was there ever a time when you supported Senator Clinton privately?
Well, I had private thoughts that she would be the nominee. There's no question about that. I always supported the candidacy of Barack Obama, but if anybody tells you that last year this time they thought that we would be where we are now, that Barack Obama would be where he is now, you stay away from that person, because that's not that's a dangerous person. Nobody thought that. I mean, we all were very impressed by him. I never thought that he would be where he is today, though I dreamed that he would be where he is today or somebody like him. That's the kind of stuff that I dreamed about back in the 60s when I was sitting in those jails down in South Carolina trying to break barriers for my children and now grandchildren. I applaud him for coming along at the time he did, for putting together the kind of campaign that he did. I applaud him for turning Martin Luther King Jr.'s dreams into visions. That is biblical to me. I call the, it's sort of a reverse. The young man dreamed dreams and the old man vision. So we've turned, he's turning dreams into vision.
Does it appear to you, though, that a racial rift has been exposed in the course of the voting? I mean, even on Saturday, as the DNC members were meeting to resolve the whole question of whether the Michigan and Florida delegates would be seated or how they would be seated or how their votes would be counted, there was a video circulating on YouTube about a woman who drove down from New York and was very angry and said some things that, you know, with racial overtones, saying it's in essence that the party's throwing itself away for this inadequate black man, as she put it. Are you concerned that a racial rift has been exposed in the voting, and how do you think it can be overcome?
What can be overcome, Michelle, by a gentleman like Barack Obama? I remember how the country received Martin Luther King Jr. When he first came onto the scene. I remember how this country responded to Rosa Parks when she first sat down or refused to give up her seat on that bus. And we go through these kinds of periods, and I'm very sorry I did hear about this latest comment, but I'm certainly glad she was from New York and not from South Carolina or Florida, because that, too, gets us beyond conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is not carrying the day in this campaign, no matter how you look at it. So I think that all of us would be naive to say that race will not play some role in this campaign, but it will. And the fact of the matter is, the question is, can we transcend that? I do believe that Barack Obama's candidacy will transcend that. I think we have tremendous opportunity. You know, Michelle, he's going to be giving his acceptance speech on the 45th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. The stars have lined up for the Democrats, the party that gave us the Voting Rights Act, the party that gave us the Civil Rights Act, to be having this convention on the 45th anniversary of that great day, and to be nominated an African-American, a real African-American, on that day. And it all is prophetic to me. And I hope that the country will rally behind Barack Obama's vision the way they rallied behind Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream.
And back to more practical matters, what does Mr. Obama now need in a vice president?
I think he needs to, first of all, get someone who comports well with him as a person and with his vision for the country. I think that when those two people stand before the American people, when you see their pictures on posters, when you see them standing together at events, the American people has to see a chemistry there. The American people have to see that these are the two people who can take us to where we need to be. If the American people look at these two leaders and they cannot see in them a shared vision, they cannot feel the chemistry between them, it will not be good.
So does that mean Mrs. Clinton is not the best choice?
I have no idea whether or not she is. I think she is a very credible candidate. I think she would bring a lot of assets to the ticket. The chemistry, the chemistry was pretty good that I saw on the stage, maybe with the exception of what took place in South Carolina during the debates. And I don't know what that would be. I don't know how they, whether they're photogenic together. I don't know whether or not they can, when they have their meeting, they can come up and present to the country a shared vision. If that can take place, then I think it would be a good ticket. If that does not take place, then it will not be a good ticket.
Okay.
So that's up to Barack Obama and the vetting process as to who would be best.
All right. Congressman James Clyburn, House Majority Whip, talking to us about his decision to endorse Senator Barack Obama today. He joined us by phone from Washington. Congressman Clyburn, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Michelle Martin. The conversation continues.